This is CliffCentral.com.
It's Demi Lovato with Sorry Not Sorry. It's just about 7 o'clock. Time to find out what's going on in the world. I think we start off this morning with some very, very hectic feedback from somebody who listened to our show on, I think it was Monday, with the polyamorist, Eric, who popped by to tell us about his lifestyle. Okay. He and his wife are married, but they both have polyamorous relationships with other people.
Multiple other people.
Yes. Yeah, you missed this. You would have loved this.
Well, Eric sounds like he is in a stable, long-term...
Yeah, they've got kids together. They're very committed to each other, but...
But he has one lover as opposed to several others. Yeah.
He's into, like, relationships, but some polyamorists are just into the sex.
Okay.
You get swingers as well, which is a whole different thing.
Anyway. And him and the wife are happy with their setup.
Totally happy. Mm. She has other lovers. He has another lover.
They have a calendar.
They have a calendar. Like, Saturday is his day. No, this Saturday he said it's Father's Day, so he's staying home with the kids. She gets to go out.
Oh.
And the kids know this.
Yeah, the kids are like 100%.
Do we know how old the kids are?
The one is 8, and they have a son who's slightly older. But even the 8-year-old has the comprehension to ask her father straight up to say, like, well, are you going to marry your lover or are you going to stay with mom?
Okay. It's amazing. It's really, really interesting.
Okay.
Anyway, so here is the feedback. I listened to the podcast from yesterday with that annoying piece of shit face, says someone.
Okay.
He's saying one of the reasons he's on the show is because there is a stigma around polyamorous relationships. Does he think that him aggressively taking pride in pointing out how wrong you are in your understanding of polygamy does good for the practice, even though you had him on to find out more? He couldn't even answer a basic question like, how does it work practically? I don't understand the question. What the hell? He knew exactly what you were asking, but he just finds joy in correcting others and feeling superior to those who are trying to help him in his cause. What a piece of earth-rotting shit.
Whoa.
Worst guest you've ever had. Not for you, but him as a person. I was so interested in who he was, where he came from, how it works practically, the details of that first conversation, and all the rest of the things you were probing him for, but his arrogance came in the way of what otherwise would have been a really insightful conversation. Honestly, he kept on wanting to philosophize everything instead of simply answering your question. How does it work for you? Well, we don't do couples dating, and a lot of other people prefer to do that. Piece of shit. Gee, didn't ask you about other people, nor did he ask you what you don't do. He asked what you do do. This guy really grated my balls this morning. So there's some very hardcore feedback from somebody saying that he was evasive, basically. I really didn't find him evasive, did you? I thought he was a little bit prickly, but I didn't think he was a bad interview.
It wasn't a bad interview, but I wanted more from it. Yeah, we can get him back.
We'll get him back. And then this guy will commit suicide. He'll be so angry.
But I do get what he's saying, because in practical sense, I want to find out. So, okay, whose house do you live in? And now we found out, though, that his lover has her own home and he has his own home with his wife. And what terms do you use, you know? So what is the point of even getting married then?
I think we've just entered the discussion about that world, and we had him in for, 20 minutes or so? So there's going to have to be a follow-up.
Sounds like it.
And you know what I'll do for whoever wrote this? I wish you'd have signed your email, then we could have... or your message, then I could have, given you credit. But the next time he's in, you can ask him questions too. I'll get you on the phone and we'll see what you have to say.
Because I'd also be interested to find out how he parents.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, sure.
So what do you tell your kids?
Are you kidding? That we just opened Pandora's box.
Yeah.
But if you want to listen to the podcast, it's a start. And I do appreciate the feedback. I do think you make an interesting point. If a guest is being evasive, it does tend to get a little bit annoying. I didn't find him that way. I think we were all just curious about his life. It's his decision to decide to open up completely or not. I think he was a good guest.
Did that sway any of... did that change your stance in any way, even slightly, to the conversation?
You're asking if me and Ben and my buddy might now be keen on polyamory?
I'm just asking.
I don't know. I think that's a real lifestyle choice.
Yeah.
Your whole life has to fit into it. I think you have to fit it into aspects of your life. Being single, I pretty much am a polyamorous as a single guy. I'm not in a relationship, think about it.
No, hang on. Because maybe I'm getting confused here about the definition. I thought because poly is many.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you are in a relationship with many different people at the same time.
No, polyamory means you have love relationships with many people. Polyamory.
Okay.
Polygamy is... many marriages. So you could have more than one wife or more than one husband.
Either way, you have more than one
partner
at any given time.
Correct. You could be single on the lover side, but still have your wife. But you'd still be a polyamorous, even though you don't necessarily have that other relationship going. You know what I mean? So let's say you're married to your wife, like he is, and... you want to have a relationship with someone else, but you haven't found them yet. And your wife's okay with that when you do.
Okay, so as a single person, but if you're single and you're moving from one partner to the next at a time, it's still not polyamorous. But
in some ways, you could say it's, you know, kind of. Look, I'm not in a relationship.
Yeah.
And so none of these definitions really apply. If you are in a serious relationship, let's say you're married or you're with one person and you sometimes are with other people, if you are a monogamist, then you would say that's cheating.
Mm.
If you're a polyamorist or a polygamist, you would say, no, that's my life.
I hate to sound...
Why? Do you feel like changing? Is this the way you want to live?
No, the reason why I ask, and I hate to sound simple if it will come off that way, but is this a... like an awakening someone has, or is this a choice that they make?
Well, remember, he said he and his wife had been married for 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then they started talking about this, and it took them a year of talking about it before they were communicating openly. He was explaining how he wanted to have other people. She was explaining how she wanted to have other people. And then they decided, okay, let's try this.
So it's a choice. It's not like you're born with this. I am incapable of only loving one person at a time.
I don't think so. Mm. I don't think so. Although you would, if you look at the evidence, and Ben was the one who introduced us to that documentary, the evidence would show that humans are really bad at monogamy.
It's called Explained on Netflix.
That's the one.
Yeah.
Because I appreciate him saying, and I'll paraphrase, he said something along the lines of, being in a relationship isn't about the fact that you'll never find anyone else attractive. It's about committing to the one person and choosing not to.
Yeah, I think it's much harder to be a polyamorous than it is to be monogamous, because you have to keep both relationships going. They both know about each other, but it's double the work, effectively, if you think about it, right?
Yeah, but how do you have a variety of friendships? It's the same principle. It just means that you're doing more porking on the side.
Porking is important, and it's a distinction.
But I mean, if you've got good friends...
you're porking your friends.
That's exactly what it comes down to.
Oh, I suppose. Maybe. I don't know. I think we've got
to have the ability to have more than five close friends. You've got the ability to be a polyamorous. It's just you're adding a physical aspect.
There we go. See, Ben, you cut through the crap. Well done. That's why we keep you around, Ben.
Yeah, just
look at
he's beaming. He's so happy. We've identified his genius for the first time in ages. Well, like, shit, I've been sitting here the whole time.
This leads in nicely to one of the stories that I've got here about Jada Pinkett Smith.
Mm.
And she hosts this show that she calls The Red Table Talk.
Oh, yes.
That they basically upload it onto their Facebook page. That's where you can watch it. And she co-hosts the show with her mother, Adrienne Banfield Jones, and her daughter, Willow Smith.
Mm.
And can I just say,
It's
three generations of women. And if you just watch like the first few seconds of the show with all three of them there, like really the genetic lottery here was very giving.
Oh, yes.
They are just very striking women, all three of them.
Well, I'll tell you that.
Very svelte.
That Jada Pinkett Smith. Man, if she pitched up at my house, I wouldn't be a polyamorist.
They really, really, they really, really look good. Even Jada's mother, Adrienne, you know, because Jada's 47, so you can just imagine how old her mom is.
The mother still rocks a bikini.
Listen, that's what I'm saying. With like, just watch a few seconds of all three of them sitting there together, and really, it's just like very beautiful genetically. But in any case, They were talking about sex in this edition's episode, and one of the questions that Jada asked her daughter Willow, who's what, 17, was how people her age feel about the concept of monogamy. And, you know, Willow was saying, well, for a lot of my friends, it just doesn't seem like something that's even doable and something that we even want to sign up for.
Oh, really?
Which brings up the whole question of, you know, the times that young people are now growing up in and the kind of rules that they are using when it comes to dating. And Willow was saying, yeah, monogamy for me doesn't really seem like it's a thing that I want to sign up for.
I think, first of all, what a great idea for a show to have these three generations of women talking to each other, and how open a family they must be for the grandma and the mom and the daughter to be able to sit there and talk about this stuff honestly. You know, I think that's enviable. A lot of families can't do that. A lot of families, your grandma is not going to be sitting there while you're talking about sex.
And that is precisely how Jada started the show, was she said, you know, part of the reason that she was having the conversation is because everybody makes sex this taboo topic.
Yes.
That as soon as it involves talking to your children about sex, it has to become this very uncomfortable moment with awkward silences and just like, I don't really know what to say. You're my child. It's weird. Why should I talk to you about sex? But another interesting thing that Jada revealed was about how by the time she was 17, she had already mastered the art of giving herself multiple orgasms.
Oh, what a wonderful woman.
And
God,
she says,
bless Jada Pinkett.
And she says the reason that this happened was because her grandmother was the one who talked to her and basically taught her about masturbation, because her grandmother's stance was, you need to understand that pleasuring your body has to come from yourself first. You can't make it the man's responsibility to step in there and be the one who's going to make your body explode.
Good for Jada.
Wow.
So she says that that is how she learned about masturbation, was because her grandmother said, no, you are responsible for pleasuring your body first.
Good
it
for
can't
her.
Be your sex
Pity
partner's...
that one's dead, because that sounds like an interesting woman to talk to. They could have had four generations.
It can't be your sex partner's responsibility. And I thought, goodness, what an interesting take on it.
Yeah, because you see, that's an extra pressure people put on each other, whether it's the man putting it on the woman or the woman putting it on the man.
Yeah.
You think about it. People are like, you know, she's bad in bed or he's bad in bed. Bullshit. How about you make sure that you're looked after? How about you make sure you know what works for you? Some responsibility on yourself there. Good for you, Jada Pinkett Smith is just straight out of heaven. She really is just straight out of heaven.
Look.
Wow.
God, I wish something horrible would happen to Will so that I could just go and sweep her away.
Okay.
That would be so great. Ben, can't we rewrite history and get Tupac to kill Will rather than the other way around?
Or just find the evidence and then let justice take its course.
Well, Tupac and Jada did start together, and or they dated in real life. I think they did.
Well, see, if we go down this road, someone's going to start shouting conspiracy.
Aren't you thinking of Janet Jackson?
No.
Tupac and Janet did a movie together.
Jada and Tupac, yeah, they had a thing. That's where the conspiracy theory starts to crawl in, like he said. They were together.
Yes, they did.
Look at you guys digging up old facts.
Yes. No, they did, Dad. Remember, because in the Tupac biopic, there was this Jada influence of the character. Yeah.
What a woman.
I'm just fascinated that Willow Smith's actually a girl. I always thought that was the son, but then this Jaden Smith, that's the son.
That's the son, yes. But these two have very interesting and very wacky ideas, these two kids.
They do, you know.
Their parents really raised them without any conventions. Like, they didn't impose anything on them. Listen, as irritating as they may be to people who are very traditional, I'm kind of the opinion that, annoying as Jaden and Willow might be to some, they are the kids of the future. Like, the two of them, you know, Jaden will wear a dress sometimes. No, they're very odd. They totally express themselves in the way they feel like, and they don't believe in gender roles, and they don't believe in monogamy, and, you know, they've got their own way of seeing the world. Now, you have to be a very confident parent to impart that into your kids, to let your kids decide for themselves, to not impose society on them, religion on them, politics on them. And whether those kids are wacky and crazy now, and they turn out to be very, very sensible adults, or whether they end up being unhappy, unbalanced, miserable adults is still in the balance. I'll tell you something. Those kids have got some very loving, caring parents. And I think openness and honesty, the way that Jada seems to handle things with her daughter, looks like that's the way to go.
It's a very interesting dynamic, and there are a lot of pertinent issues that are raised as well in this new talk series that she has. Like, she speaks very openly about how she let Jaden move out of the house when he was 15.
Yeah.
How Willow was slitting her wrists. Because do you remember, like, way back when, 2008, I think, she came out with the song Whip My Hair?
Yes.
That was like the mass.
Whip my hair back and forth. Yes. Whip my hair back and forth. Whip my hair back and forth.
That's all it was. Oh, that's all the song was.
Terrible fucking song. Jesus.
And how Willow started slitting her wrist because of all of the pressure from that. And, you know, talking about the grandmother then says that she had Jada when she was 17, and how Jada was now looking at her mother and her daughter, who's now 17 as well, saying, like, she couldn't imagine her daughter having a kid now. It's all just a lot. Oh, and she also gets in Will's first wife.
Oh, shit.
Because they...
You are kidding me.
That's juicy. That's juicy.
Okay.
Yeah. Gets Will's first wife in because they co-parent and they talk about that. So, yeah. There's like no topic off limits with them, evidently.
Yeah. Look, it must be an interesting house to have conversations in that one.
Meanwhile, big news yesterday. Big, big news.
Big,
of
big.
Of course.
Big news. You want to hear some big news? Listen to
it. Well, I think, can you insure anything? Can I insure that you're going to be able to sit down properly when you sit down? I mean, you can't insure anything. All I can say is they want to make a deal. That's what I do. My whole life has been deals. I've done great at it. And that's what I do. And I know when somebody wants to deal, and I know when somebody doesn't. A lot of politicians don't. That's not their thing. But it is my thing. I mean, again, this really could have been done, I think, easier a long time ago. But I know I just feel very strongly, my instinct, my ability or talent, they want to make a deal.
Hmm. So there he is, telling us again how great he is. But he did it. So you got to listen, you may hate Donald Trump. A lot of people do. A lot of newspapers yesterday were trying to find some hole, some fuck up, some disguised secret clause that screwed up the deal. This guy has gone. He's been the first U.S. president to meet with the leader of North Korea ever. He sat with Kim, who, by the way, Kim's head and Donald's head are totally different. So they're different species.
What was going on there?
Kim
Jong-un. No. Thank you, Mums, for clearing that up. It's important.
He's met with both Kims. Right.
So there's a picture of the two of them. I got to show you. You tell me if these heads are the same size, if these are the same species of human. Because this is a very different looking setup. Look at Kim's head size and then look at Donald's head size. They're different creatures.
Yeah.
See what I mean? Kim's head is almost twice the size of Donald's. Donald's got like a pinhead.
Weird.
And Kim has got this huge balloon head.
It's so funny how they're both just comical looking, yeah, both of them.
Very strange looking men, both of them. And then Donald with his extra long tie. You know, Kim's wearing his normal black chairman's outfit. He's got his glasses on. He's got that stupid crew cut hairstyle. Donald's got his ridiculous hairstyle. But listen, you can hate these guys. You could say that this is ludicrous and that this was all for the cameras. But there is a deal signed. And please believe me, there is no other way to get through to a egotistical maniac than with an egotistical maniac. Donald Trump, we salute you. You've made the world a safer place today. This guy was outside of the international community. You know how they use that expression, outside the tent, pissing in?
Mm.
It's better to be inside the tent, pissing out.
Mm.
You think about one of those family weddings. Everyone's in the tent, pissing out. That's okay. You don't want someone on the outside pissing in. You know what I mean? This is what Kim Jong-un was. He was outside the tent, pissing in. Donald Trump has brought him into the tent. And the two of them seem to have got on well because, as I said, egotistical maniacs.
Mm.
They've signed a deal. Yeah, I do deals. That's what I do. I'm very good at deals. I'm the greatest at deals. And he signed a deal. He got Kim. You can see the page. Donald held it up all proudly. Look, here's my signature. Mine, my greatest signature. And here's Kim.
That odd signature as well, I think it was.
Well, between the two of them. Doesn't Donald got a, it's actually a really nice, looks like calligraphy, his signature. It looks like something you'd see in an old medieval book.
Kim's looks like slashes.
Kim looks like he's written at an angle. It's very strange. Anyway, you could see all of this on the internet. I'm not going to give you old news. The fact is, the world is a little bit safer today than it was yesterday. And these two nutcases have helped to make it so. So I'm going to say thank you, Donald. If anybody still believes that he doesn't deserve a little bit of credit for this, then you've got to examine whether or not that's because you had a bias against him in the beginning. And if you did, that's fine. But admit he's done something good here.
Well, Robert De Niro would disagree with you, obviously.
Robert De Niro.
I mean,
Jesus.
That was so odd.
Did you hear what he did?
Please.
But I mean, come on, as far as Hollywood goes, award ceremonies these days are the platform to hop on your pedestal to try and make everybody else feel like shit for not believing in the things that you consider important,
he
right?
He got a standing ovation at the Tony Awards, old Robert De Niro.
Yeah.
Well, you do well in echo chambers. That's why people echo in them.
Yes. Do you want to listen to it?
Sure.
Right, let's see if they've bleeped this.
Ladies and gentlemen, Robert De Niro.
Robert De Niro.
Wow. And now everybody's thinking, oh, great, it's the guy from Taxi.
I'm going to say one thing. Fuck Trump.
They love him. standing ovation.
It's no longer down with Trump, it's fuck Trump.
Wow. All right. There it is. How do you like that? What's going on, my buddy? What's happening in your head?
No, I'm just seeing more images and visuals of these two. You know, it's just, they look so bizarre, both of them, in different ways. It's just funny.
The creators of South Park right now must just be literally wetting themselves.
Yeah.
This is the movie they created.
What a great story.
And Seth Rogen's, what's that movie?
The Dictator, I think it was.
Yes, the
Interview?
The Interview, that's what it's called.
It's all, like, this is all playing out.
It's all happening.
And then you get Bob De Niro, attention whore. Fuck Trump. Dude.
Yeah, and he kind of held his arms up like he's in Superman pose. Yeah,
so Trump responded.
Of course!
Where did he respond?
Twitter.
Of course.
His favorite platform.
Failure of an actor, Robert De Niro. What did he say about him? Did he attack him?
Robert De Niro, a very low IQ individual.
That's great.
He says, has received too many shots to the head by real boxers in movies. I watched him last night and truly believe he may be punch drunk. I guess he doesn't realize the economy is the best it's ever been, with employment being at an all-time high and many companies pouring back into our country. Wake up, Punchy.
I love it.
Yeah.
Oh, Trump.
Right. Well, now, let's just give spare thought for Kim Jong-il, Kim Jong-un's father, who was so ornery.
So fucking stupid. Why aren't more people intelligent like me? I'm so ornery, so ornery, so ornery and sad, real alone. There's no one, just me ornery, sitting on my rental throne.
Yes.
I work really hard and make up great friends, but nobody listens, no one understands. Seems like no one takes me seriously. And so I'm ornery. A bit of ornery. Poor riddle.
Never got to see peace, but his son, Kim Jong-un, has finally met with the U.S. president. Isn't that exciting?
So lonely. Yo, this is Trump's time, hey?
No, he's living
his
it up.
His head must be...
He's going to explode.
Yo, he's
well,
bouncing off the walls.
Well, it's tiny compared to Kim Jong-un's, but yes.
Last week, he released that woman, so the Kim Kardashian people love him.
Everybody loves him.
And now he meets with Kim. I think he's going to run for a second term, actually.
Of course he's going to. I'm just worried he's going to try and run for a third and a fourth.
Well,
if you know what I mean.
At this stage, if he keeps pissing off De Niro, he's got my support for a second term.
I'm really rich. I'll show you that in a second.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, De Niro, listen.
Has De Niro ever said, fuck Harvey Weinstein? Has he ever?
No, and that's a much more nasty human being than anyone else.
Of course not.
All right, what else is in the news?
Okay, so... people who are for and also people who are against sex robots are continuing to have arguments amongst themselves. This would be actual sexual and reproductive health experts. This would be psychotherapists. And then this, of course, involves the manufacturers of these sex robots. The thing that they're arguing about are the health risks and health benefits that they say are possible as a result of people starting to have the hanky-panky with these machines. Ooh. But quite frankly, as far as the health experts are concerned, they say the health benefits claimed by marketers of the sex robots for safer sex, therapeutic possibilities, and the potential to treat pedophiles and sex offenders simply have not been proven yet. Now, sex bots are anthropomorphic devices.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Anthropomorphic. Those are means it resembles a human being.
Sure, in every way possible, right? These basically are realistic mannequins. They come in different ages, genders, mm-hmm. appearances, textures. They're customized for oral, vaginal, and anal openings. currently, there are four companies that are selling sex bots for anything between $5,000 and $15,000. If you want to do a quick conversion there for yourself,
sure.
To find out how many rand that is, you're welcome to do so.
All right.
So, those in favor of using sex bots, they argue for harm limitation to reduce prostitution and sex crimes. Opponents on the other side of the table are saying sex bots could promote the idea that humans too are sex objects available for objectification and could actually have us spiraling worse. The majority of customers will probably make purchases for sexual gratification, according to Dr. Chantel Cox. George,
of course.
No, I mean, if you are a sexual and reproductive health expert, you have to have the name Cox in there because it just...
Whoa, the fuck out.
Thank you. So Dr. Cox George says the majority of customers will probably make purchases for sexual gratification and not for health reasons.
Of course. What is she? Do you need a rocket science degree to know that?
It is important for healthcare professionals to know the evidence in case there are medical risks or benefits. For example, infections. I can see it now. Dad purchases a sex bot. Him and the wife go away on a holiday. They leave the kids behind. 16-year-old son is having a house party at their home. He invites all his little horny friends. They get drunk. He says, by the way, my dad has a sex bot that he keeps in a place he thinks I don't know about. He brings out the sex bot and all the boys have a turn.
Oh, that's pretty sick.
Can you imagine? Like
How do you clean that up?
Well, this is the thing. These are the conversations that are being had around the health risks and the health benefits around these sex bots. Cox George also looked for sex bot related research and found no reports with primary data about their health aspects. You know, they also make these sex bots in childlike form because they say, well, the pedophiles would then not be touching actual children. They would be rather using these sex bots.
No. You see, that's what they don't understand. It's like this this child thing that those people have, this pedophilia tendency is, it's a mental thing. It's not a physical thing. They don't need to have an orgasm. They've got a fixation with kids. The sex doll's not going to help them with that. So there's something wrong there. It needs to be dealt with like a mental illness. Yeah, it's just my opinion, but I think these sex dolls, you know what?
It's a lot more gray and complicated than you thought it was.
I think if people need a sex doll, you help yourself. I'm not going to get in your way. Some people are into all kinds of kinky shit. You do your thing. Just don't involve other people. Especially not without their consent. Right? Do you give a shit like your neighbors might be big into sex dolls? You wouldn't know. You just one day hear the batteries run out.
Oh, the only thing that I worry about is for when the bots malfunction.
No.
Because there could be some serious injuries there. Because, you know, at the end of the day, it's a machine still.
Well, wait till virtual reality creeps in. People will be having sex with a 3D version through their goggles of you, my buddy, and you won't even have a say. They'll program you into it. Someone will be having sex with you, and you won't even know about it. Now, how's that for invasion of privacy?
It's a little bit creepy.
That's the same as someone's imagination, though. You know, some people have a very good imagination. They could imagine having sex with you, and then you don't necessarily have a say.
Yeah, sure. Fantasizing, right?
Sure.
You fantasize about someone, maybe at work, or...
As you say, the lines get very blurred. It gets very gray.
Or you fantasize about your brother's wife. Like, it gets really...
50 shades of gray.
Gets really uncomfortable sometimes. Damn straight. For people. Hmm. Just keep it all in your head, and it's fine. Nobody needs to know.
Sick bastards. All right, what else is going on?
Well, you know that Jason wrote a story.
Ooh, that's the new... See, Ben has moved swiftly on. It took him a whole week to get off of Henry Van Breda. Now we're already on to Jason Roeder.
Right.
Yeah, well, that's nothing on this one, this crime.
Oh, there's so, another one?
An American marketing specialist. We didn't pick it up on this last year. The story kind of stayed under the radar because there were stories like Henry Van Breda and this Jason Roeder.
Yeah.
Well, this guy, a Guatemalan man, has seen to allegedly murdered his girlfriend in a Camps Bay hotel.
Jesus. Oh, no. Why didn't we hear about this?
She was found with chips covering her half-naked body, a hair straightener protruding from her sexual intimate areas, and she was literally covered in feces. What this guy did was he then left a note which in Spanish said, piece of shit.
Jesus.
And he's now claiming that he was under massive hallucinogenics, so he's not really responsible for the murder. So he, like all really rich people, got William Booth to try to defend him.
Where is he from, this dude?
Guatemala. His name is Diego Novella. Huh. So if you want a really, really tough story, this is it. This is the whole couple...
So he killed her.
Crime of passion sort of thing on another level.
So he killed her. They were eating a lot of chips.
Blunt force trauma and strangulation.
Okay,
that is the cause of death. He then smeared excrement all over her.
His excrement, I'm assuming.
It would appear so. And there was a word that was left, Siriota, and it just basically means piece of shit in Spanish. So he then kind of in court proceedings yesterday decided that he was going to admit that he's been lying the whole time during testimony.
Oh.
So now this trial is now being extended. But I always look at this and I think, okay, this guy is a piece of shit. No doubt about it. He needs to be taken away from society swiftly. Yeah. He has no place in this world. I mean, how could firstly murder someone and secondly leave her in a state that like that? But now this William Booth guy who gets paid to defend people like this and he'll do whatever he can to try and prolong a trial and keep him out of... How does this dude sleep at night? How does he... I know he must get asked it all the time, but how does he process this kind of stuff? This is almost one of the most revolting crimes I've ever heard. And there he is, standing in the face of justice to defend this man.
I don't know how people do it. That's why I don't think I could ever be an advocate. Especially a criminal law advocate, because you don't know what cases you're going to be approached to do. You know, the attorney briefs you. I mean, you can always say yes or no.
Well, that's the thing. And the fact that he says yes seems to suggest that it's something that he thinks he could handle psychologically.
Well, he thinks he can put this into the justice system and pull his strings the way it is, and maybe he gets a sort of diminished sentence, but he's got a month of trial work, which in his, I don't know, 50, 60, 70,000 rand a day is pretty handy.
See, like... I'm not condoning or excusing murder, for example, but slashing someone's throat, you can get your way around that. Once you strangle someone, the way in which you kill someone and the state in which you leave their body, that says a lot about who you are. And I don't want you out in society, dude. No, thank you. The fact that when you strangle someone, that's not a 5-second process.
No.
You need to commit to it. You are looking at their face. You're seeing and you're feeling this person struggle.
I'm a gutcha as a pig.
Yeah, and then you still can crap on him. Bye.
Yeah. He shat on her. That's the weirdest thing, right?
The actual murder took place in a Casper hotel in July of 2015, so this really has been pulled in and out. He's been in Polsmore hospital area.
You know who I feel sorry for? I'm obviously the victim, but the other person I feel sorry for is whoever had to clean that room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Well, it'll be down to a crime scene investigation kind of team.
Yeah.
The Blood Sisters. Yeah. They would have probably called them in to clean up all the shit and everything.
Mm.
God help us. What a horrible thing to think about. By the way, I'm on my third cup of coffee. I am like...
you will be buzzing.
Like a nutcase. But we got a new coffee machine in here the other day. And Sia made me coffee this morning, which was terrible. So I went and made my own because he didn't know how to use the machine. And my one was great. But then Celeste makes me one. So this is my third. And it's sitting here. So I thought, well, I'll have that as well.
And you will be bouncing off the walls in 2.3 seconds.
Yeah, I'm going to be very busy today. Churning out like lots and lots of work. Imagine.
And then at 10:30 you pass out asleep.
Oh my God, yeah.
It's so interesting, all of these weird murder cases. Well, now a woman in St. Louis, Missouri in the States. Oh, bless her heart, but she's an idiot. Joni Janice.
Well, that's a stupid name for starters. Yeah.
If you commit to killing someone, don't be stupid with how you deal with it, because she was now found guilty. Well, she's about to go into the whole court process, but she was identified as a possible person who committed murder because she wrote in her diary about the entire ordeal.
What an idiot.
Why would you do that? Why would you do that? So she lives in this block of flats, and the murder took place around these block of flats, and basically everyone around there was a suspect. Look at that.
Dear diary, I'm feeling so good I killed a person today. Let me give you the details of what I did.
She's currently being charged with abandoning a corpse after police have said that her diary detailed how she and two other people moved a dead body from her home to the car, drove the car on a highway, and left it abandoned on the side of the highway. So I'd be pissed if I was one of the people who did it with her. And I was like, this is why I get caught? Because you decided to write in your diary, Joni?
But what a dumb idiot.
What a proper dodo.
The thing is, you also never quite know how you're going to deal with the PTSD after killing someone and disposing of...
Then don't kill someone.
Try to avoid that.
I hear you. But now you have killed someone, and it's going to be a different process for different people. Some people are going to be able to handle it better than others.
Mm-hmm.
Joni here obviously needed a space to offload, and for her, that was her diary. You know, some people will kill someone, and then it becomes too much for them to bear, and then they tell a friend, or they tell their priest, they want to talk to a psychologist, because it's just become too much, and they need to let it out.
Is there any way you could lie about it, even after it's so obvious in your diary?
You'd say, I wanted to write some fiction.
Yeah, I'm thinking of going into writing, crime stories.
J.K. Rowling is my inspiration.
I was testing it out in a diary.
Sure.
Yeah, I heard about the murder in the neighborhood.
She needs William Booth. That's who she needs. According to someone on here, William Booth always does these dirty cases. That's according to someone who's a lawyer. It's interesting.
I didn't realize William Booth is a known individual.
Yep.
And there's also Lisa Bloom, who always does the Hollywood sexual allegations. She is coining it right now, this Lisa Bloom.
She's like the Me Too woman.
Yeah, she stands up for anyone who has any sort of harassment case.
But she is quite, because isn't there a fund? You can basically donate to the Me Too movement, mm-hmm. so that the court cases do happen. And there's someone, you know, that can follow this thing up.
But she does, like, the big singular case. For example, like, Robin Black China, Rob Kardashian and Black China. Uh-huh. She stood up for her. She stood up for the women who are against R. Kelly, who say that R. Kelly have trapped...
Yeah, she's always called in. Them in the this mansion. Is her area of expertise. This is her speciality.
It's her niche.
Yes. Niche.
Coin, sister, coin.
All right, do we have anything besides murders in the news?
Well,
murders, Jesus.
Yeah.
It's nice and saucy.
It's the reality of the world.
You don't want a dismembering story?
No.
Good Lord, no. Yeah. I think we've had enough of that.
A woman who dismembered her roommate because the roommate refused to move out.
I do want to refer back to that case that Ben brought up, because the guy who shat all over the woman. Well, Ben went into the bathroom here on Friday.
Uh-oh.
And he said someone from upstairs, and Jane confirmed this. Ben says he walked in there, and I mean, it was clean, because I went in and washed my hands at about 8 o'clock in the morning. And then Ben says, a little bit later on, he walked in.
Yeah.
And he said it was like someone had offloaded a horse.
Mm.
Yeah. It was just too much, really. I generally have fruit that I like to wash throughout the day. You know, just wash an apple. And you go in there and you sort of draw a bit of water from the tap. Oh, it's just too much for me. It's a crime scene of itself. But when will it stop is what I always ask.
So do you have any idea who this is? Because I've sometimes, my office is directly down the passage. I can look out of my office and I can see if someone's coming out of the bathroom.
Mm.
Sometimes if I go in there and it's like there's something going on, there's someone in there having a really rough time, I'll leave the bathroom because I don't want to be in there while the crime happens. I go to my office, but then I'll want to see who comes out of there so I can find out who the culprit is.
It's the Chronicles.
Seldom. Sometimes they take a long time and I forget. Then I carry on with work and I forget to look up and I miss them and they sneak away. But it's not all our people, because there's the guys from VOOV who are upstairs. Mm. There's the TV production company downstairs. And poor Jane. And she said to me, there's one guy who comes in at 9 o'clock every morning.
Like clockwork.
He has the most well-timed bowels in the universe. And she says he comes down 9 o'clock on the dot every day. And that's when she said it gets really untidy down there.
Oh.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Some people do. They like clockwork. They know exactly. Their stomach goes.
Okay, that's it. Can we catch?
And they're just ready to go.
Oh my god. No.
All right. Anything else in the news?
Can we focus on something else?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, for my body. Shitting.
Okay. So you know how, as time goes by, new diagnoses—I don't know if that's the correct
term—have
arisen. You know, back in our grandparents' days, they probably weren't talking about things like ADHD or ADD because, you know, they didn't realize what they were dealing with back then.
In fact, if you had any kind of mental health problem, let's say you were bipolar or you were depressed, they would say, oh, you're mad.
Correct.
Or you're hysterical. We should put you in a straitjacket and lock you in a mental institution. And people didn't, they didn't have drugs to deal with that.
Yes. So the question.
Shame, Mabali's gone mad.
Right.
Where's Aunt Mabali? Oh, she's, don't worry, she's in the mental hospital. We put her in the sanitarium. You'll never see her again.
Yeah.
She's crawling up the walls like the Exorcist.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of time when new diagnoses are brought to the surface or into conversation, you'll have some people who question them and say, I don't know if that's a real thing. So tell me how you feel about this. Mm-hmm. There is a mum in the UK who is campaigning to have her child diagnosed with an addiction to video games because she claims that his life is being ruined. Kendall Palmer is attempting to have the NHS recognize internet gaming as an addiction in order for her son to receive treatment. Her son, who is 15, was once a talented sports player and a gifted student, but now he plays games compulsively and he hasn't attended school for a year.
That's all he does? Just sits at home and plays games? I think that sounds like a problem.
He sits at home and he plays game. And as far as the mom is concerned, she says that she's lost complete control of her child, who's now missed an entire year of school because of these games. And she wants it to be declared that he is suffering from a real addiction. Addiction to internet gaming. I mean, sure, we have people addicted to porn, people addicted to sex.
Yeah.
We know that our phones, our devices, we're definitely addicted to them, because every time you realize you've stepped out of your home without your phone, you break out into a cold sweat.
Mm.
So how do we feel about this? 15-year-old being diagnosed with internet gaming addiction.
Totally possible.
Mm.
I think it is a very plausible mental health issue. And I reckon you've already drawn the best comparison if you compare it to gambling or to porn or to any of that stuff, then an addiction it is.
Yeah.
Fits the definition. And might not be a new category of mental illness. It might not be a new category of diagnosis, but it certainly is something we can relate to.
Mm.
You know, there are people who compulsively do the same thing over and over again because they've got some kind of nervous tic.
Yeah.
And then there are those people who do it because they love it and they can't get enough of it. Some people have an eating addiction. Some people have a drinking addiction, drug addiction. This is a gaming addiction. Why not? Why wouldn't there be such a thing? It's obvious. Some people get huge thrills out of a game. They'll stay up all night. I remember when I was addicted to Plants vs. Zombies. Do you remember?
Oh, great yeah. Game. That really was a great game.
Jesus, I got hooked.
Yeah.
I would play that game till the battery of my iPad ran out.
Jeez.
And I'd look at the clock and I'd go, I've got an hour and a half of sleep and then I have to go to work.
Ooh.
And I'd want to recharge my iPad so that I could carry on playing. I could not get enough. Now, I don't think I'm below average intelligence. I don't think I'm above average intelligence, but I was like an animal. I had no control. I couldn't stop myself. And that's just a dumb iPad game.
Mm.
I reckon these games where you have a character and you develop that character and you go through these scenarios, and you know how a lot of these games are so well put together now. It feels like you're in a movie.
Well, remember a week or so ago there was that story about how a bunch of parents were outraged at the release of a new movie in the States, basically about a kid walking into a school and shooting it up. So yeah, a lot of these games are very detailed and very specific to real life events. It's completely feasible for people to get lost in them.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you do then? He's 15 years old. I mean, is it a simple case of, well, just complicate every electronic device in the home?
Confiscate.
Because this kid hasn't gone to school for a whole year. So what do?
You smash.
Do you rip
stuff
out his computer? Do you take away the iPad? Do you,
smash,
say
all
you
his
no
stuff
longer allowed a phone because
yes
clearly?
I reckon it's got to be harsh.
Ben is a very good objective voice of reason when it comes to ways of handling errant children.
He really
what
is
would you do, Ben?
I think you got to be harsh in this instance because
remember Ben was raised by wolves.
Yeah,
yeah.
This whole let's finesse it, let's think about the feelings. Sure, time and place for that, but I think this just needs to be a band-aid. Rip them out of it.
I mean, what kind of a parent lets their kids skip school for a year because they're into gaming?
Mm. This just sounds like a Dr. Phil thing. I'm sure Dr. Phil has a team that goes around and socially manipulates people into being fuckheads just so that he can then, you know, it's like
let me help you and your children.
It's like when you're fattening up turkeys.
Yeah.
So that all they can be used for is just extra profits on Thanksgiving. I reckon Dr. Phil has operatives around. Call this a conspiracy theory. You see the crap that he gets on his show.
Mm-hmm.
Of all these non-functioning children. I was watching this PewDiePie video the other day, and there was this girl who is not, in all due respect, ever going to do anything on a visual format in life.
Mm-hmm.
And she was going on about how the fact that she's going to be a YouTube star and her parents must support her with this. These parents are like day-old fish. There's just no substance to them, and they just bout and scrape whatever this horrible child has to do.
Well, the one job that you can take on just about any time just by sleeping with somebody is parenting. And a lot of people go through with it. And then they end up with a kid and they end up not being the greatest parents. And you know, I don't know what the ratio is, but there's got to be a golden ratio. Like for every one good parent, there's one bad parent or whatever. Because we know there are a lot of screwed up humans.
Probably one is to three.
You reckon it's one good one to three bad ones?
Yes.
Hmm. And I mean, there's no guidebook, right? As a parent, you don't know. You hope you're doing the right thing. But this woman, surely, after a year of her kid not going to school, like, into the first week of it, my parents would have smashed every piece of technology that I had. My dad would have had a bonfire in the back garden and thrown everything into it. I wouldn't have had a chance. What do you think your parents would have done, Ben?
Same. But now you're so far gone with this kid.
Yeah. She's probably trying to be her kid's friend.
You know, there are kids out there, and I've heard various stories, that they get such anxiety when their device battery gets to like 10%.
Mm.
They don't know how to deal with that.
Yeah.
So if they can't deal with that, they can't deal with any interaction of a human nature.
Yeah.
So where do you go with that kid other than just saying,
it's over.
That's it. Well, what do you do? It's a different kind of illness now.
Well, I am Dipster on Telegram this morning saying to me, and you, I'm a parent. I'd take an axe to that PlayStation and then take the axe handle. beat the kid.
It's got to be drastic. And
that's a parent.
It can't be finessed.
Well, there we go. If you want to join in that conversation, 079-748-2090. That's the number you can get us on. Jesus. So yeah, if you had kids, what would you do if they ended up being nutcases?
Well, just recounting what my parents have done, and these are practical examples. My sister once got into this whole... Do you remember the TV series Charmed? And it was about these three sisters who were into...
witchcraft and
yes.
stuff.
Yeah.
Well, so, my buddy lives that life for real.
Yeah.
That's well, her real life.
You know, it's one thing to be a proper...
Got a witch's hat on and everything.
Yep.
It's one thing to be a proper witch, but it's another thing to be, like my sister was, a black goth.
What?
Just doesn't work out, you know?
That is strange.
But, you know, so my mother was just like, la, if you want... to be interested in the stars, you can go and sit outside. And so she took all her books and the collections of things, the trinkets that she had bought, she threw those out and she said, listen, you can spend the evening sitting outside looking at the stars to contemplate what you should do with
that,
your
did
life.
Did that wake her up and she came back in and she was like, I'm sorry.
When everyone else is having dinner and you're sitting outside, kinda.
Wow.
Did you laugh at her? You know, siblings.
It was. It
can be such
hilarious.
Horrible little shits.
Because my sister went through a proper phase where she thought like she had some sort of mystical powers.
Really?
Oh, yeah, she was fucked up. Really, she had
mystical powers? Did she curse you? Did she curse you? She tried to curse
you. Know, which was so
I'm
going to
use my mystical
powers. I'm so making her sound like a nut job. But she would, when she was annoyed with us, she would just look at us and go, I curse you. I put the hex of Star X and whatnot.
Oh,
I'm like,
God.
What the fuck are you talking about, girl? Yeah.
When my sister and I were much, much, much younger, we got my mom so fed up with our imaginary friend. Her name was Ntswaiki. My mom... Eventually, she was just like, I cannot deal with these two idiots.
Ntswaki.
So she opened...
It wasn't Ntsikima's wife,
no,
because Ntswaki. That's a real person.
So she opened the kitchen door, and she yelled at Ntswaki, and she said, now you get out of my house. And my sister and I were crushed, because Ntswaki never came back after that day, bro. It was like... Your parents go through a lot, hey? She kicked out a non-existent.
It worked. That's a smart mom. She knew how to get to you too. She took you seriously and she chased your friend out.
We genuinely believed that Ntswaki's gone. And I mean, it's like, oh my word.
Yeah.
Parents, shame.
Because parents do as well know with the way that my parents dealt with things. You know, my mom is like a proper gussy girl.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my other sisters grew up in the Paris Hilton era. You know, with the little tiny dog and you want to carry the dog everywhere.
Oh, no. Did she have a little dog?
My sister twisted my dad's arm into getting a tiny dog. My mom was like, listen, I know a dog that lives outside and not in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is what she had to deal with. So listen, a PlayStation situation or someone addicted to games, that would be nothing for my mother. That
Jeez.
Would be nothing at frickin' all.
Someone wants to know, and I think this is a good question. Why do people take dumps at work? I hate public toilets and just don't know how you could be so comfortable at work that you feel you need to take a crap there. Well, you know, I think for a lot of people...
So what are you supposed to do? Drive home? Yeah. I mean, that's a bit impractical.
I do.
Yeah, I can't.
I do.
Can we not just be responsible while we eat? Like, you don't have to put cheese with everything. Is what I really want to get at here.
No.
You know, if meat's
cheese
been
is the problem.
If meat's been around for a couple of days, maybe don't put that in your mouth. You've got to understand that everything that goes into your body is going to go out of your body. So if it looks like shit when it goes in, there's a good chance you're going to hurt a public place when it comes out.
But Ben, what if you're eating fiber and roughage and all the stuff that they say is good for us?
That's great, but you're not going to stink it up like a crime scene. Trust me, I've been on fiber diets and that kind of stuff.
But you're still shitting.
Yes, but you're not leaving a crime scene, is my point.
But you're an adult and you know how to time these things and you can wait until you get home.
Guys, that's
and
fine.
Look at it. Just like that, we're back onto the shit.
But that's fine. My whole point, my whole gripe, the reason why I come out of here with frayed eyebrows is that someone's gone in there and damaged that toilet. Damaged it.
All right, here's another message from Steve. He says, hey guys, I had a serious TV and PlayStation addiction from 8 until about 16. I went on 48-hour binges, so I made the sole choice back then to stay away from the things that weren't adding value to my life. I give myself a 2-hour TV limit a day, and I no longer keep a gaming console. I have a very addictive personality, so I keep that bullshit out of my life. Steve, that takes self-control, man. Limits himself. Hey, good for him. Well done, Steve. You figured it out. I start work at 6 and I finish at about 5, so going home for a dump is not an option. And fruit makes you shit, Ben. No waiting.
You see, guys, for a lot of people, it's simply not practical because you're away, like you are at work for longer than you are at home. So for a lot of people, it's a case of, so now when Mother Nature comes knocking, I must get into the car and drive.
Yep. Guys, my point is very clear.
The mall is still a public place.
Yeah, shit at work. Just take care of yourself better. The guy that comes in here and murders our toilets doesn't care about his diet.
Let's just use the wise words of Jerry Springer here.
Uh-oh.
Take care of yourselves and each other.
Oh, okay.
Some more comments here. There are apparently loads of YouTube videos of parents smashing their kids' PlayStations and Xboxes. So if you go onto YouTube and you type in smashing Xboxes, you see parents doing that. I'm in the UK and children rule the house. Parents will go to jail if they even reprimand their kids.
True. Yeah, there's that.
Guys, try and play Grand Theft Auto. You will definitely get addicted. I love that game, man. Swearing, shooting cops, stealing and shooting old people. That's my addiction. There are lots of people who have to say that they would, well, they're saying to me that they would easily take on their kid's PlayStation with an axe. So there we go. Lots to think about. All right, we've got a special surprise for Mabali. Do you want to bring her in, Sia? It's her birthday today, so here it is, Mabali's birthday surprise.
Look at this. That is a work of
art. Look at that take. That is unbelievable. That is
macaroons.
Beautiful. Beautiful. That is actually coming from my buddy's mouth, that sound.
This is the prettiest cake I've ever seen in my life. It's
gorgeous. It does look like a work of art. It looks like a crystal, did you paint that?
No, so that is a textured Swiss meringue buttercream. It's very in at the moment. It's quite arty, but happy birthday, Mubs. I hope you have a beautiful day.
Thank you so much.
Wow.
Do you know what I love most about this?
What?
It goes with the color of my braids.
Yeah.
Yes, it does.
We are always reticent because Mabali doesn't like it when we talk about her hair, but she came in here with a new hairstyle on Monday.
Beautiful.
It looks great.
Wow.
Crystal is from Sensational Sugar. She comes in and celebrates all our big events with us. And Crystal, we appreciate this. I know how busy you are. So
pleasure,
it's really sweet of you to do this.
Only
and
Mubs,
that is magnificent.
It really is. You know, you do such a great job of dedicating time for each one of us every time it's our birthdays. And it brings so much joy when you see this.
Wait till you eat that.
Woo! What's inside? I can't wait. I cannot wait.
Can I just tell a story? When I met Mubs the first time, was
as long as it's not at the Grand.
No.
Well,
we swore never to tell that story in public.
Tell us the story. Here it is. Crystal's meeting Mubali story.
I met Mubs at 5FM when I brought you guys the first cupcakes ever.
Yes.
And Mubs came up with a word that I'd never heard before. And she said, I've just been cupcakeified.
Right. And now you've used that many times in your marketing.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
She's invented words.
Yeah.
There is no shortage of exciting stuff that my buddy can come up with. And look at that cake. And happy birthday, Mubs, from all of us.
Thank you, guys.
She's a whole 21 years old today.
That's the right thing to say.
You were nicer than me.
Shut up, Sia. Sia said you're 40-something.
He said I'm 66.
That's 66.
You will not have a slice of cake.
But you look 63. We also have some balloons and some flowers.
Oh, that's so special.
Oh, and a few gifts in there as well. Ah,
Celeste has brought you a gift. Celeste, thank you very much. There we go.
Thank you very much, Celeste. Should I open it now?
My buddy's going to carry all of this home in her cauldron or her witch's hat.
Yeah, well, she's got both. You know,
how it'll all fit on a broomstick, I don't know. When she's flying.
I just got an upgrade on the broom, okay?
That's right. What do we got there? Some birthday glasses. That's very good.
We've got some birthday glasses.
Very nice. Okay.
I've got a card. I will read that later.
Yes.
I've got a workaholic pen.
Yes, but that fits the bill for you.
Yeah. These days it really
Mubs
does.
Mubs hasn't had a day off since 1998.
And I've got a chocolate that says you're awesome. Thank you, Celeste. Thank you very much. Sweet. Thanks, guys.
All right, and Spongile's got some beautiful flowers for you and a balloon. There we go. So everybody's very, very excited for my buddy's birthday today.
Thank you.
All right, and we'll have some more surprises on Friday, which is Mubs' last day. She's just had the balloon tied around her head and she looks thrilled.
Yeah, no, it's fine. It's all right.
Okay. All right, everybody. Thank you very much for joining us this morning. It's time for the un-news, and then we are out of here. This morning, we got a little repeat for you of one of our interviews that we did not so long ago. Gavin Rich, rugby writer and author. Ben, a very interesting man.
Yeah, an incredible writer, very interesting man of rugby. And rugby is a big deal right now. Mm. Boxer playing England on Saturday. Even Cyril Ramaphosa will be at the game.
And we actually won for a change. For the first time since...
Fighting team.
Like 7 years ago. All right. So here it is, the un-news for this morning. Happy birthday to Mubs. And have a happy day, everybody. It is Wednesday. We will be back tomorrow, Thursday morning, of course, with the Burning Platform featuring Justice Malala and a lot of other cool stuff. So stick around for that tomorrow. Here's what you need to know. Cyril Ramaphosa has referred to state-owned enterprises as sewers of corruption. Sewer rats have been deeply offended by this, saying state-owned enterprise types would not be welcome in the sewer and would appreciate it if this reference would no longer be used. Donald Trump is claiming that the deal that he just made with Kim Jong-un may be his best deal yet, or in very least his top three deals, somewhere in there, up there with selling off his daughter Ivanka and buying Melania. And finally, Buck Fourier has now sped to Bloemfontein with Sia Khaleesi's team taking on the English this weekend in the City of Roses. Still desperate for any sort of Fourier, Cyril Ramaphosa will be attending the match. It will be a much-needed attention-seeking mission for him after being laughed out of the G7 summit. We'll see you tomorrow.
This is CliffCentral.com.